This week, as we gather with friends and family to give thanks to God, take some time to remember those pilgrims and Indians at that first Thanksgiving. The pilgrims risked much to come to America, and half of them died that first winter. Their dependence on God and their friendship with the Indians, who taught them how to farm and hunt in America, helped them through that difficult first year, and they gave thanks for the harvest. Likewise, we give thanks to God for His rich blessings.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
This week we celebrate a holiday that the retail world totally ignores because they don't make a lot of money on it. Certainly people shop and they buy extra food this week, but you're not seeing really a big emphasis on Thanksgiving. In fact, one of the things we kind of, Halloween has become a really big holiday, but we jump from Halloween to Christmas because that's what the retailers are hoping that you'll spend money in. And in fact, the official start of the Christmas shopping season is actually the day after Thanksgiving, very early in the morning. And some retailers, up until just recently, were actually starting on Thanksgiving, even opening up and selling, having sales for Christmas. But it is important to give thanks to God and to rejoice in the Lord always. Certainly, it's important to set aside a day, and there's a lot of good tradition with Thanksgiving. We have going all the way back in the times of from the Pilgrims. We actually have with the Pilgrims and the Indians that first year. You may remember that half of the Pilgrims died that first winter, and yet those that lived were thankful to God. And they established friendship with the Indians. The Indians helped them survive, taught them how to fish, how to farm, how to plant crops. And then they had actually a harvest, and they got together to give thanks to God. And so you really had the beginning of a tradition that has happened in America, where on this fourth Thursday, and it hasn't always been the fourth Thursday, but it lately and really as long as I can remember, I don't know when exactly it became the fourth Thursday, but that's the official day that we celebrate Thanksgiving. And it is good to set aside a day to give thanks to God. There's a lot of good family memories, a lot of good family time that happens this time of the year, families getting together that sometimes don't get together the rest of the year, getting together to celebrate and to be thankful. And many people are off work on Thanksgiving, so it's a day where people can come together. People travel to come together and to give thanks. And we need to realize that this isn't just about getting together and eating food and stuffing your face and having a good time with your family. It's really about giving thanks to God, thanking God for His goodness, for His provision. But more so, we need to give thanks not only on Thanksgiving, but really all the way throughout the year. We need to give thanks to God for the big things, because God has done some big things for you. I mean, just think about it. You are alive. You came into existence. Think about all God's work in your life in bringing you to the place where you are. You may not have everything that you want, but you have life, and God has been sustaining you. And in fact, the Bible tells us that if God didn't give us our breath, that we would actually die. And we need to thank God for big things. And God is, if God has done big things for you, and I can guarantee you that God has done big things for you, you may not recognize it. You may not understand it. You may not always appreciate the things that God has done for you. In fact, you may not know half of what God has done for you. I think we're going to, when this life is over, we know that we're going to face God. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to be judged for our sins. And of course, if we're judged based on our works, we all go to hell because we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you have that assurance that you will be accepted, not because of your own works, but because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, shedding his blood for you and washing away your sin. And so we have this great blessing that we can thank God for. And I think, though, that one of the things that when we get to heaven, if you are a Christian and you do get to heaven, and if you are a Christian, you are going to get to heaven, not, again, by your own works, but by the grace of God. But I think that God's going to reveal to us all the things that he has helped us with, the things, the blessings and the times that we could have been injured or hurt or killed, that God just intervened. I mean, sometimes you know this. Sometimes you see this. I remember driving with our family. One day we went down south and we went to a zoo. And on the way back, we're coming back and we're in the left-hand lane. And a car in front of us actually did a 360 right in front of us. It was amazing to watch what happened as we were praying and crying out to God in the split second and obviously slowing down, and to watch everyone else slow down, to watch that car do a 360 and actually come to a resting stop parallel to the guardrail right in the middle of I-95. Just amazing. No one injured. No, his car wasn't even hit. And that was a blessing for that man, but also a blessing for us and for everyone that was around him. And certainly you might have seen some things like that in your life where you actually know God did this for me, but you don't know. There's probably a lot of other events where God has protected you and God has saved you and God has spared you from some things that you didn't actually even know and didn't actually even realize. So we do need to thank God, and we need to thank God for small things. I mean, you know, and we should pray for small things, like when you lose your keys or you lose something else that you need. Maybe you're working on something, you set something down and you don't realize, you just set it down absentmindedly, and then a few minutes later you realize, hey, I need that. Where is it? Where did I set it? You know, just praying for that God would actually show you. And then when you find it, we need to thank him for the answers. And thank him for the big answers, the big things that he does for us, and also for the small things. And thank him also for who he is, and not only what he does, but also who he is. And so we look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see that we are to rejoice always in verses 16 through 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we are to rejoice always. How often are we to rejoice? When we feel like it? When we're in a good mood? When things are going great for us? No, we are to rejoice always and to pray without ceasing. You know, there are times where we want to offer our and cast our cares. We the Bible tells us to cast our cares upon the Lord. When we need something from God, we don't really necessarily want to thank God. We want to just be praying and asking God to move on our behalf, but we need to also be rejoicing in giving in everything, give thanks. Because you know what? There's some times where we have situations that come and we don't understand them. We don't know. And we ask, why, God? Why did this happen? But God says in everything, give thanks. So we need to realize that everything that happens to us, God can turn that around for good. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, that God is able to work all things for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. So just know that we should give thanks to God for everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But what about when things don't go well? What about when things things don't go as well as we planned, or as well as we hoped, or when life throws us a curve? In fact, I believe that God is sovereign, so I believe it's God that is doing that. But we see what is happening and we don't understand it, and sometimes we even suffer for what we have done, or maybe even suffer for good, for doing what is right. We're suffering for righteousness' sake. In Acts chapter 16, we see that the Apostle Paul, and he actually was going in and actually witnessing and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is in Acts chapter 16, and you can actually read the whole passage. We're not going to read the whole passage today, but the entire passage starts in verse 13, and they actually go into a city, and they're proclaiming the word of the Lord. There's a woman there named Lydia that they are teaching the word of the Lord, and the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. They then come upon a woman, a young girl, who was actually a slave, who had a demon spirit, and because of this demon spirit, she was able to fortune tell, and she made her masters a lot of money because of this fortune telling. Well, what happened was she was following around them, and she was saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to her, I command you by the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And So this spirit, actually, this evil spirit actually came out. This woman is set free. I mean, this is a great thing. Paul just set a young woman who was bound by the devil free. It wasn't him doing it. It was God doing it through him. But what happened was the masters, the owners of this girl, because again, she was a slave. And so her master saw that there was no hope for profit, and they actually raised the whole city in an uproar, brought them to the magistrate and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive and observe. And then what happened was they actually took their clothes off. This is Paul and Silas, took their clothes off and beat them, and then threw them into prison. They were thrown into the inner part of the prison, and where their feet were even shackled. And you can imagine if that happened to you. I know a lot of people that would be, in fact, it would be tempting to complain. It would be tempting to get mad. It would be tempting to even get mad at God. God, look at what happened here. I went out and did good. I helped you. You, through me, set a woman free from demonic spirits. And yet, now I'm beaten and thrown into prison. Some reward, I could have just, you know, minded my own business and I wouldn't be in prison. But instead of doing this, instead of groaning, instead of murmuring, instead of complaining, instead of being down in the dumps, or even just sleeping, because I'm sure they were tired at this point. It was actually late at night where they actually had this. But about at midnight, in verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So at midnight, when really it would have been, no one would have looked on them in a bad light if they would have just been asleep. But certainly they weren't just asleep. They were praying and singing praise to God. So even in the midst of their circumstance, they were singing praise to God. And what we see here is that the men were actually listening to them, and the other prisoners were listening to them. In verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chain was loosed, And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." So we see here, and by the way, the keeper of the prison actually took and he bandaged their wounds and he washed their stripes. They had stripes. What were the stripes? They were wounds from being beaten. He actually washed them and bandaged them and fed them, and they proclaimed the gospel to the man and his family. They were brought into the kingdom of God, and they were baptized. And all of this happened, really, because rather than moaning, rather than groaning, rather than being down in the dumps and being dismayed and blaming God even for what was happening and what had happened to them, they were spending time in prayer and in thanksgiving. And so this is why, as we read in the previous passage, we are to rejoice always, and in everything give thanks. And you know, some things are relative. Certainly, we have much blessing in America that we actually take for granted. Look at some of the other countries in the world where people go to work for a dollar or a few dollars a day, where little boys and girls can't go to school because they have to go to work to support their family. Think about all the the suffering that is going on, and even today, Christians in some countries are actually imprisoned for being Christians and for proclaiming the gospel. And think about what some Christians have gone through in the past. Corrie Ten Boom, I know, when she talked about and wrote in her book about the suffering that they had when they were actually in a concentration camp, in a Nazi concentration camp, for protecting Jewish people and trying to rescue Jewish people from death. What she actually talks about, that there's no pit that is so deep that God is not deeper still. And when a woman in their cell barracks would actually contract lice, they would rejoice. Why would they rejoice because she had lice? Well, because then the guards would not come in and harass them and beat them. And you think about Harlan Popov, who was arrested as a pastor, was arrested for proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And Harlan Popov actually, when they would receive soup at night, if one person had a bean or a pea or a piece of potato in their soup, the entire group would rejoice and praise God for that one person that had a little bean or a pea or a piece of potato. So whatever circumstance, and I know I've been in circumstances when I've been in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children where really I felt like murmuring. I felt like complaining. I felt that I would have been justified in doing so. Yet I can tell you that when instead you praise God, I never had what Paul and Silas had where there was an earthquake and the gates of the prison were opened up. I never had a situation like that. But I can tell you that I can remember feeling down in the dumps and feeling depressed and feeling like it was too much for me, feeling like at some points that I was almost ready to scream, that I just couldn't take it anymore. And yet in that time, instead, turning to God in prayer and turning to God in praise and thanksgiving and watching God lift my spirits. And you can read in the Psalms that King David went through this quite often. Why are you downcast, O my soul? He talks about this, and you can see that in some of those Psalms, he's actually depressed in the beginning. But by the end, he's praising God, and God is the lifter of he's lifting up his countenance. He is restoring his joy because he chose to praise God. He chose to rejoice even when times were tough. We are to bring our request to God with thanksgiving in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we see here that the Apostle Paul is instructing not only the Philippian church, but also you and me to not be anxious. What does that mean? It means not to worry. It's easy to worry. It's natural to worry when things aren't going well, when you have bills to pay, when you don't know where you're going to get your next meal, when you have a need, a financial need, where you don't know where you're going to pay how you're going to pay the rent, how you're going to pay the mortgage, how you're going to pay your car payment. You don't know where you're going to get a job, and it's natural to want to worry. And it's you would think that this would just be something that it does come very easy to us. What doesn't come easy is to not worry, to not be anxious, to tell yourself, I am not going to worry about this. Whatever the situation is, I'm not going to be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So on one part, we're not to worry, but on the other part, we're to actually pray and to have supplication. The Bible talks about casting your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you with thanksgiving. So when we pray, we should come to God with thanksgiving. Why? Because we believe that he is able to answer that prayer, and we are thanking him in advance for the answered prayer. And you know, if you've prayed before, that God doesn't always answer you like you want him to answer you. But God always gives you what you need. He gives you what's in His will, and that's what we should be asking for. So we should be praying and supplicating, making our supplications to God with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And when we do this, when we choose to not be anxious, to not worry, but instead to come before God with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, when we choose to do this and to make our requests be made known to God, again with thanksgiving, God's peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the Bible even talks about having the peace that passes all understanding, that God will guard your hearts and minds. So other people will look on you and wonder, why in the world do you have such joy? You're going through hard times. You're going through difficult times. And the Bible never says that we won't go through difficult times, but it says that God will bring us through those difficult times victoriously. And when we have a need, we need to go before God and pray and cry out to Him, but do so with thanksgiving, with a joyful heart. The Bible says that we are to rise up in the middle of the night and praise God in Psalm 119, verse 62. We're in Hebrews chapter 13, we're to offer a sacrifice of praise. We are to rejoice in the Lord and give thanks at the remembrance of His name in Psalm 97. And we are in Psalm 79, the Bible tells us that we're to show forth His praise to all generations. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, we are told that we are to give thanks in all things, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So we are to bring our request before Him. We are to thank Him. We are to rejoice in Him. And thankfully, God is able, He is capable of moving on our behalf and providing for us and meeting our needs. So this week and every week, take time to thank God. In fact, every day, and even throughout the day, multiple times in the day, give praise to God and thank Him for who He is and for what He has done. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This week, as we gather with friends and family to give thanks to God, take some time to remember those pilgrims and Indians at that first Thanksgiving. The pilgrims risked much to come to America, and half of them died that first winter. Their dependence on God and their friendship with the Indians, who taught them how to farm and hunt in America, helped them through that difficult first year, and they gave thanks for the harvest. Likewise, we give thanks to God for His rich blessings.
Oh, yes, Lord. You are the ground so strong that lays beneath my feet. Yeah. You are the air I breathe, and without you there be no need. You are the things I see, you're so beautiful to me now. are my everything. It's your love that makes me sing. You are my everything, yeah. I'm feeling it every time that I close my eyes. Oh, you are my everything, yeah. Jesus, I can lay my feet on you now, 'cause you support me like the ground. And I know that you are my everything, and without you I won't be. I've seen you right from the start, said your love lifting me up, so I'ma start this revolution.